I'm sure many of us can say that we have various days in our lives that stand out over others. We have distinctive days or significant days, something that's happened on those days that really makes it stand out and cause us to remember those days, whatever the reason might be. These are some days in my life which I hope stand out. They should. Certainly my wife Jill would give off if I didn't put that number one. Wedding day 22 years ago, I think it is now. One of those days that you never forget. I remember the sweat dripping, the moisture going down my back. It was that warm on the 18th of July, 96, I think it was. Three other days with three lovely daughters. They're not that size now. The oldest is turning 21, and I do not know where those days have gone. But I can remember those days. Significant events. Those stand out in my memory. I have a hobby that involves going and getting out into the outdoors, finding some mountains and walking in them. And I've had quite a few days. I love getting into the moorns, into Donegal, over into Lake District or wherever. But this next picture shows one of the greatest days that stands out for me, an absolute epic day for me in the mountains. Not sure if any of you have been over in Wales, but they have some tremendous scenery. Coming off Snowdon, the cloud lifted, and we decided, two of us decided to try this ridge. You can see where we were going in behind me, a knife edge ridge. The adrenaline was starting to pump at this stage because we realized what was ahead of us. But what a day it was. For me, that was my greatest day in the mountains. We all have significant days that stand out in our memory for good things. I can remember back probably 16 or 17 years, I'm not sure the exact number of years now, but I can remember one day where I was standing. I'd need to take you to the exact place in the room where I was standing whenever I saw this picture. I thought it was a film that was on. Soon realized it wasn't. We can remember days because of bad things that have happened. Where we were, what we were doing, who was with us. Those images can trigger off memories of significant days in our lives. Maybe the death of a loved one. I can remember at the age of 4, my granny's funeral. I don't think I can remember anything else around that time in my life. But I can remember where I was standing at the graveside. I can remember who was holding an umbrella over us and the rain pelting down. Things happen in our lives, significant days that we remember. We want to think in the life of one of the guys we're reading about, Simon Peter. I'm sure he had many days in his life that were significant for various reasons. Days that stood out in his memory as he went on through his life. Days that he could look back and he'd think, I was there, I did that, I saw that, whatever it might be. I want to look at one day that I believe, I don't know because I can't speak to him yet, one day maybe when we go to heaven we can ask him. But I believe this day we're going to look at was one of those significant days that he would never, ever forget again. I want to look at the reasons why that is. And really, I suppose, ask ourselves the question, do I have this significant day in my life? Do I have this distinctive day in my life? Can I look back to a time in my life, just the same as Peter could look back, and remember that day for whatever reason it might be? This day started in John chapter 1. We read some of the verses. John the Baptist had been preaching. The Jews from Jerusalem had sent men out to see, who is this man? Is he the Messiah? They were expecting the Messiah to come, even though he had been promised for hundreds of years, and he hadn't come yet, they were still expecting him to come. And the Jews were asking of John the Baptist, are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? And he says, no, I'm not. But I am the one who will point to the Christ. We see John the Baptist was standing with two disciples. One of them was Andrew. Disciple is simply a follower. They were following John the Baptist at this stage. And as they were standing with him, John the Baptist said, in verse 35, behold the Lamb of God. Now, why did he say that? What a strange name to call someone. Sometimes as we're reading through these stories in Scripture, we can just skip over wee terms like that. And we maybe don't actually sit and stop and think, why did he call him the Lamb of God? A lamb isn't someone that you really will want to be probably You certainly wouldn't want that name given to you at school, I'm sure, as a nickname. The reason he was given the Lamb of God was because for many hundreds, thousands of years, the people of Israel had been sacrificing lambs as a substitute for their sin. The lamb took their place. The lamb was punished instead of them. The lamb died instead of them. But it was only a temporary sacrifice. Year after year after year after year, for hundreds of years, the Jewish people had sacrificed thousands and thousands of lambs for their sin. And those lambs were looking forward to that day when someone would come, the Lamb of God would come, and would be sacrificed for them. This day that we're looking at in the life of Andrew and Simon Peter, Jesus hadn't died yet. So often we forget exactly how things can happen in Scripture. We have great hindsight looking back to see, yes, Jesus died, but they didn't know that yet. They didn't know who the Messiah was. They were still looking forward to that time when the Messiah would come. But Jesus did come, and he died on the cross. He was the Lamb of God that was sacrificed once forever. Lambs do not need to be used as substitutes for us today, because the Lord Jesus Christ took our place on the cross. He was sacrificed once and for all. And as we look back on that nearly 2,000 years ago, we can understand how things worked out, because it's great to have hindsight, isn't it? It's great to look back and see how God was working things out in his time and his plan. But Andrew and this other disciple in these days, they couldn't see all that. They were still looking forward to the Messiah coming. And so as John the Baptist said to them, "Behold, the Lamb of God," they probably had these questions in their mind. Is it true? Is it really? I know a few years ago we were over with a school trip over in Barcelona, and we were at the stadium, Nou Camp Stadium, and some of the children started to get excited because they thought they spied someone they knew. Some of them thought Messi had just driven into the ground. Some of you will know who Messi is. As they went to the shop then, the tourist shop, some of them got even more excited because there was, I believe, Shakira, who I think is either going out or married to or something. I don't know the connection. But she's a pop star, and she was married or going out with one of the players. And it was her. And the excitement, and they got the cameras out, and the word spread, Shakira's there, and people started to gather. I wonder, was it a bit like that 2,000 years ago, whenever John said, "Behold the Lamb of God"? I wonder, as people listened, certainly these two that listened, they started to get excited, because we read that they started to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read that he turned and he saw them. And Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" They wanted to see more of him. They wanted to hear more of what he had to say. And we're told that they spent that day with him. So much so that by the end of that day, they were convinced, they were certain that this was the Messiah. I'm sure many of you have had good news to share at various times throughout your life. The first people usually that you want to share it with is family. Brother, sister, mum, dad, husband, wife, whatever it might be. Those are the people you go to first of all with good news. And we see here that Andrew was no different. We see that Andrew went immediately and found his brother Simon, because he wanted to share with him this great news. We have found the Messiah. Can you imagine the excitement? I think sometimes we read these words and they just go over our heads. We don't really get excited. We don't even get a sense of the excitement that these people must have had. They had been looking forward for hundreds of years as a nation to the Messiah coming, and now here he was standing right with you. Can you imagine the excitement that must have been? Imagine, I say this reverently, but imagine Jesus came in physical form and walked in and sat down in the pew. Do you think you'd just sit there and say, "Oh, there he is"? I hope not. I hope there'd be some excitement. And the reality of it is that he is here with us in spirit. I wonder, do we get excited by that? These guys got so excited that they wanted to share it with everyone that they came into contact with. Andrew started with Simon Peter. I wonder, do we have the same excitement about sharing Jesus with others? I wonder, what does he mean to you in your life? I wonder, who have you brought to hear about Jesus? When was the last time we went out and we spoke to someone who's never heard of Jesus and invited them to come on to hear the amazing news of who Jesus is, what he can do, and how he can influence their lives? We see that Andrew brought Simon Peter, and Jesus changed his name that day to Peter. Jesus knew who he was. We see that Peter realized that this was the Messiah. I'm not sure whether this was the actual day that changed his life or not, but certainly this was a day I'm sure he never forgot, the day that he met Jesus for the first time. I wonder, have you had such a distinctive day in your life? I wonder, have you had a day in your life when you have had to make a decision about the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm sure if you come here on a regular basis that you hear week in and week out many things about the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, what he did, what you need to do in response to that. You've had many days possibly where you've been given the option of making a decision to follow Christ, just the same as Peter did. The reason I read Luke chapter 5 and verse 8 is because this may well have been, I don't know for certain, but this may well have been the day when he finally submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we read here in Luke chapter 5 and verse 8 that Simon said to Jesus, "Go away from me, Lord." He realized he was Lord. He realized that this was someone that he should listen to, someone that he should obey. But it was these words, he says, "I am a sinful man." Peter realized the sin that was in his own life. Peter realized that he needed to make a decision about this man who was to be the Messiah of the world. I wonder, do you realize that you need to make a decision about the Lord Jesus Christ? Some people say, well, I don't need to make a decision. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. It's all been done. I don't need to do anything more. And yet, what does the Bible teach us? The Bible teaches us, first of all, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, that all have sinned. That's inclusive. God makes no distinction between each person here. He simply says we're all sinners. And if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we don't like that. But if we're honest with ourselves, we will admit that we are sinners, because we know every day that we sin in thought, possibly in word, possibly in deed, every day. I know certainly every day there's things going to this head which I cannot control without God's help. I know that I'm a sinner. I wonder, have you admitted to God that you're a sinner? Peter, we see in Luke chapter 5, admitted, "I am a sinner. I'm a sinful man." And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ was sent to this earth. Very simply, we had disobeyed God. We had no way of coming to be with God in heaven unless our sin was dealt with. What is the result of sin? We read it in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin, wages are something that you get for what you do. You get your wages at the end of the week because you work. If there was children here, they would get wages or pocket money because they maybe do a few odd jobs about the house. Wages are what you get for what you deserve, for what you've done. The wages of sin is death. Not a nice message to bring, but a very vital message to bring. Separation from God forever. Physical death, yes, has entered into this world because of sin. But spiritual death has entered too. A separation from God forever, unless that sin problem is dealt with. And we thank God for the second half of that verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What an amazing message, folks. We've been singing about the resurrection and the power in that name. What an amazing message to bring, that we, each one of us, can have our sin forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. How can we avail of that gift? How can we receive that gift? A gift can be given, but it's not always received. I could have a gift at the front here and say, whoever gets up first is going to get it. But if you all sit in your seats, no one would ever get it. A gift can be offered, but it needs to be received. It needs to be taken. And that again is what the Bible clearly teaches. John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There has to be a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, the Philippian jailer asked the very important question, "What must I do to be saved?" And he was told, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Two verses in Romans chapter 10 make it very, very clear that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I wonder, have you ever done that? I wonder, have you ever actually talked to God in prayer, either in your head, in your thoughts, or out loud, and told him, "Dear God, I'm sorry for the wrong things in my life"? Have you cried out like Peter and says, "I'm a sinner, but I need you in my life. I need you to forgive my sin. I want you to come in and forgive me and to give me this gift of eternal life"? I wonder, have you ever had that distinctive day, that decision day in your life that you can look back to and say, "That day changed my life. That's when I became part of God's family"? I believe Peter was able to look back on a day like that. I would urge you tonight, as you think of Peter, as you think of distinctive days in your life, days that stand out for whatever memories exist, can I encourage you to think on God's word? Can I encourage you to ask yourself, each one of you ask yourself this question right now: have I this decision day in my life? Have I got that distinct day when I trusted Christ as Savior? You may not be able to tell me the date and the time. I can't tell you when the actual date and time, but I can take you to the place I was when I prayed that prayer as a child of 4 or 5 years old. When I admitted my sin, when I came in faith and trust to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him to forgive my sin. Folks, if you haven't got that day in your life, you need that day. It's the most important day that will ever exist in your life. Can I encourage you, as you think of Peter, as he thought on days in his life that stood out, as he thought back to when he met Jesus, as he thought back to that day when he admitted he was a sinner, as he thought back to that day when he put his faith and his trust in Christ, I want you to ask yourself that question. Can I look back like Peter did? Can I praise God? Can I thank him for the salvation that I have? I trust that you have. If you have any questions, if you feel that God has been speaking to you, please come and speak to the minister. Speak to someone here. Don't go out through those doors, folks. If God is speaking to you, if he's calling you, don't ignore his call. Respond and ask him to save you.